When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. We've got a big show for you today. TJ Cleland in the booth. Fill it in for Tommy today. We've got Jad Chambers producing. We've got the IHOP hotline open for you. It's a busy day on the hotline, but it is yours here for the first 30 minutes or so. It's brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try those decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. 869-1240 is that number. You can reach the show via our video streams. Leave your comments right there on the Facebook, YouTube, or X streams. You can, of course, What do you even call it now, TJ? I can't say you can tweet at us on X. You can talk to us on X, whatever that's called now. You can do that there. You can, of course, see us on 12 News Connected as well. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, there is a way you can send us your voice messages, which is fun. You just hit a little microphone there if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. And I think, and we need to test this, even if you're listening to us from the future, if you're not listening to us live, if you've got something to say, I think you can send those messages anytime. And Jad would get those. Jad, is that right? Like, could they send, if they were listening to this, let's say tonight and not live, we fired somebody up and they wanted to, you know, message in and tell us how big a knuckleheads we are. They could do that, right? And we'd get it tomorrow.
Yeah. And they'd be right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they would be. They'd be 100% right. That's correct. Yeah. So you can do that as well. Even if you're listening to us, we know a lot of people download the podcast and listen to us that way. We really appreciate you doing that. We've got good guests coming up today for you. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, will be on. He will chat with us about the college football playoffs getting underway. NFL, of course. We'll also have Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider, in the second hour. Looking forward to that conversation. A lot to get to with K-State basketball. And then we'll get the latest from Fitz on what's happening in the transfer portal. That is a life not for me to follow that kind of stuff, but it is for Fitz. So we'll get to the Fitz stuff in the second hour. TJ, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. Late night last night, trying to stay up and watch some junior college football national championship. That game took about 4.5 hours or whatever it was, but I stayed up and it was one heck of a game to watch. So Blue Dragons got it done.
Congratulations to the Hutch Blue Dragons. Winning another natty, which is wild, and I didn't realize where they were playing, TJ. That's
Buffaloes.
My alma mater right there. Go Buffs.
Stadium
West Texas A&M. Now, were they on campus or were they at the old Kimbrough Stadium? They were on the campus stadium. Was it in like a deep bowl or was it a normal looking
deep
stadium?
Deep bowl, nice like porcelain Kimbrough. Looking buffalo at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
They had a full light show and everything. It looked nice.
So that's Kimbrough. That's where they played when I was there, when they packed 20,000 people in there for Division II football games. Now they moved on campus. And while I've been told the on-campus stadium is nice and everything, it breaks my heart that they still don't play their college games there. But anyway, glad Hutch got to go there. It's a really, really, really cool old school venue. Used to be in the Valley. You know, a lot of history at that stadium. So congratulations to the Hutch Blue Dragons. That is fantastic. So happy for them. Was that 2 and 4 years?
Yeah, I think so. The COVID year in 2021. So,
yeah, wild, wild stuff. So, yeah, congrats to them. TJ, let's talk football here off the top, and we'll open with the Chiefs. Look, I think that it has become pretty obvious that Mahomes is going to play here. Another full day at practice. I think, you know, when you see the hit, which we saw Sunday, and you hear high ankle sprain, you become very concerned. But it basically, since then, it's all been good news. Now, it's a mid-ankle sprain. He's been able to practice. I don't see any scenario where they don't play him or he doesn't start the game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty unreal. Just looking at Patrick Mahomes, you know, history of taking hits like that, you know, typically we a lot of times see him get up and go back in two plays later because, you know, we've seen the videos of how he's training these weird things to he's training his ankle so this doesn't happen and everything like that. And so I'd say that's a big part of it. You know, you get hit three different ways like he did, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, they're going to be out for a long time, and it's probably going to be a little bit more than an ankle sprain, I imagine. So I would imagine that he's really rehabbing hard with the Chiefs. He's rehabbing on his own, and Patrick Mahomes is quite the competitor, so I'm saying that he's doing every single thing that he can behind the scenes so he doesn't miss a single game.
Now, I will say this. If he, assuming he starts, and everyone including Vegas thinks he will, the line has moved. We can get to that with PJ Glasser soon. I would still be willing, though, if I was Andy Reid. Mahomes may not like this. If they get to a point in the second half where they feel like they can pull him out of the game, I would absolutely pull him out of the game. The fact that he's able to play does not change the fact that they have absolute liabilities on the bookends of their offensive line. And I think this probably through the rest of the season. I think if given the opportunity, they should put Carson Wentz in. If you've got a two-score lead, so basically the scenario that you got to with the Browns, just, you know, you've got the ability you should have to run the ball anyway. I would not be opposed to seeing them pull him out of games early if they think they've got a game in hand. Now, the problem with that is, outside of the Browns game, DJ, they haven't had any games in hand. So we can wish and hope all we'd like, but who knows if they can actually get it pulled off, because they do play three quality teams down the stretch here.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game against the Texans. I was going to say, it's going to be interesting because, you know, in the past, we've seen this ankle injury, the same ankle happened twice, and he's able to play through it and, you know, honestly kind of play with a limp and still be able to be a little bit mobile and everything like that. I think that the difference is, and the reason that so many Chiefs fans are going to have to hold their breath on Saturday, is that this is the season he's gotten hit the most in his entire career. So, you know, it's liable that he's going to get hit and may twist it up again, and that's just something that you're going to have to hold your breath and watch the game, and who knows how many times he's going to get hit on Saturday.
It'll be some. I mean, at least he gets hit every game. That's what the problem has been. It's why we haven't liked the game plans. It's why we haven't liked the game scripts that they've been running out there, because it puts, you know, Mahomes under siege far too often. Hopefully against the Texans, they can get in there and they can run the ball, right? And they did try. And look, against the Browns, they finally gave the ball to the running backs. Now, there was a stretch of the game where we wished they would have, you know, tried to run it a little bit more. But in totality, it was by far the most they have run the ball this year. And, you know, the sooner they can get home field locked up, the sooner they can get real rest for these starters. It'll be interesting. Hollywood Brown, of course, practicing again. Just like Mahomes, all signs pointing to Hollywood Brown being available this weekend. I honestly don't know how much of a difference that's going to make at this point. I don't know what it does, who it takes reps from. I'm not real sure how they'll do that. Maybe Juju Smith-Schuster. Xavier Worthy's finally becoming a consistent part of the offense, so I don't know that you'd want to change his role all that much. But Hollywood Brown is a weapon. How quickly can he get acclimated? I think we forget the reporting on Hollywood Brown before the injury was all wildly positive, right? On the fit there and how he was meshing with Mahomes, all of those things. So, I mean, is he a difference maker for the team? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. I mean, maybe 1 to 2, 3, 4 plays a game early he can be. But, you know, it's possible, I'll say.
Yeah, you know, just thinking back to training camp, you know, we're sitting in St. Joe watching this team, and that was the glory days of Chiefs football this year, you know, where Rashee Rice was out there, Hollywood Brown was out there, everybody was out there, and so everything looked awesome with Hollywood Brown, and everybody was so excited to get him on the field, and then, you know, what happens, happens, and now it seems like he's back, and you're kind of hearing the same buzz about, you know, how much different he looks, you know, than the other guys that they have in the offense. Obviously, he's going to be a lot faster than Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going to be a lot more dynamic than, you know, like a Justin Watson, Nico Remigio, stuff like that. So, obviously, to get a healthy body in week 16 or whatever week we were in at this point, it's going to be huge for the offense. And I think that another part that a lot of people aren't talking about is, you know, it's not like they just acquired him in a trade or just signed him. He's been with the team for the last 18 weeks, and he's, you know, been following in, sitting in meetings and everything like that that you would do. He's just obviously not out on the field. So it's not like he's going to take time to learn this offense and everything like that, because he's learned it. He already knows what he's doing.
I wouldn't think so anyway. And you know, the reality is, again, like, I'm excited he's back, but I don't want that to mean the Chiefs decide to throw it more. Right. There's got to be like replacement, not add on value for me anyway, because to me, running the ball is far too important. So, yeah, if all of a sudden Hollywood Brown comes in and they, you know, basically just add six or seven more targets onto what they've already been doing, I don't think that's a good thing. So it's got to be replacement value. He has to take those targets away from somebody else. And I think that's totally feasible. I think you can do that. You know, as much as Juju has helped the Chiefs in big spots, if you can run an offense out there with DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy, and or the two tight ends when you need to, like, the Chiefs are getting healthy. And we're not talking about that, right? Like, we're not talking about the fact that the top seed potentially in the AFC is getting healthier and healthier outside of the Mahomes situation every week. Maybe they get Humphreys back by the playoffs. This is why, a part of the reason why, even in the midst of the chaotic wins, I have never been willing to back off the Chiefs as my Super Bowl pick, because this has been building, right? Like, they've been getting to the point where they get all of these weapons back for a while now, and all of a sudden, they could get into a situation with a full week of rest, two full weeks of rest. They walk into the postseason. The healthiest they've been in this entire year could be to start the postseason. Yeah, Nobody's talking about that.
I mean, I'd agree. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I need to get my Super Bowl slip in. You know, I was kind of doubtful. I remember back in the preseason, I said that it's too good to be true that they could pull off a three-peat. And there's so many other factors and everything like that. But just looking at the rest of the NFL product, and just how well the Chiefs handle things that they do, it feels like it's got to be the Chiefs again now.
Buffalo looks really good. We're going to get to some of these picks with PJ Glasser. What about the two teams playing tonight? From a non-betting, just a football perspective, we'll look at a Thursday Night Football. I love this game tonight. We'll talk about it. Are either of these teams real contenders? I think they both like to think they are. We'll talk about that next. A big Thursday Night Football game with implications in the AFC playoff race for sure. On the way, I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here in the KFH and all the Odyssey studios. Thanks to them. It's Albrock. It's Cleland. We're coming right back. Welcome back to Sports Daily. Tune in tonight to KFH for NFL's Thursday Night Football, AFC West Showdown, Broncos on the road in L.A. taking on the Chargers. Tune in at 6:30, 97.5, 1240 KFH, or download the free Odyssey app and just search KFH. Just getting a Jeremy Fowler report is what we were just talking about. Hollywood Brown expected to be activated and play Saturday. No surprise there. Thursday Night Football tonight, TJ, is a fascinating one. We'll talk about the betting side of this next with PJ Glasser. From a strictly football perspective, I love this game. I think this is a huge opportunity for the Chargers. They had a massively underwhelming performance last week. I think the Broncos are riding a little hot, quite frankly. I kind of like the Chargers tonight. It's a big spot for them. They can make a big statement. And honestly, the loser of this game is in a little bit of trouble, right? The loser here, if you go and look, like, Denver's closing schedule is brutal. the Chargers, the reason I think this is such a big opportunity for them, after this, when they get to, they close with back-to-back road games, but it's New England and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go look at what Denver's got coming up, it's this one on the road, then it's the Bengals on the road, then it's the Chiefs. Now, the Broncos may get wildly lucky if the Chiefs get that thing wrapped up and pull their starters, but if they do not, then Denver's in real trouble if they don't win this game, because you'd have a real dicey situation. I think the Broncos, depending on what the Chiefs do in the final week of the year, the Broncos are in real danger of dropping their last three games here.
Yeah, you know, in lack of a better term, it's the beginning of the end of the regular season, basically. You know, even talking about the Chiefs, you start looking ahead to these last three games and what it's going to take. And then I imagine if you're a team that's on the bubble like these two are, you know, you're really kind of sweating this out of what you have to do in the scenarios, because there's probably a million still, because not that many teams have clinched. So this is a really big one for, you know, division rivals. I'm really fascinated in terms of the quarterback play in this one, because everybody, you know, calls Justin Herbert the, you know, what if quarterback, and all these hypotheticals that he'd be really good if this happened, and he'd be really good if this happened. Now he's got a chance to, you know, get in the playoffs and you know, maybe make a run in the playoffs, and it's got to start tonight. This is basically a playoff game for the Chargers. And then you look at Bo Nix, who's a guy that a lot of people doubted on draft night, that, you know, they didn't think he was going to be able to do it. And, you know, he's done it so far. And so really big spot for both of these young quarterbacks. I don't even know if Herbert's a young quarterback anymore. I'm so used to calling
him. No, he's not young. And they're a run-based team. And Herbert's been good this year, right? He's been very efficient. He's not turning the ball over. But they've been a run-based team. They have to now see if they can be a pass-based team. And that's, I think, been what I mean, all eyes are on Herbert here, because without J.K. Dobbins, they just haven't been able to run the ball. So can they throw it as much as they'd like to? They've got, you know, they've invested back to back years, first round draft picks at wide receiver. You know, they've been a little banged up at tight end, which has been unfortunate for them. But, you know, they've got a backup tight end who's been OK. So what are they going to do? I don't know. Can they get it done? I think that they can. I'm a Herbert guy. I like Herbert. I think Herbert's really good. But at some point, you do have to, you know, get it done. And you have to be able to go in there and get these things done. And they haven't been able to do that in some of the big spots. I think this is a really big opportunity for them. I really like their chances tonight at this thing. But they got to get out there and prove it. And yeah, Bo Nix deserves a lot of credit. I didn't, you know, of the early drafted quarterbacks, I thought Bo Nix was at the bottom of my list. I'm not still totally sold on Bo Nix. I love his attitude. I love his personality. We'll see if he can continue to do this on the field. But I think we're in a situation where this rookie class is of quarterbacks is really good, all of them. Right. We haven't seen him. We won't see McCarthy play. We'll get a chance to look at Penix, so we'll see. But as far as Daniels, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, like they've all Drake May, I think they're all showing signs of being good quarterbacks. So Bo Nix is one of them. He's one of the leaders for rookie of the year. We'll see who gets it between he and Jaden Daniels. But look, he's been given the opportunity and he's been really good. I just don't believe it completely with the Broncos. And I think that's why, and I'll see what PJ Glasser feels on that. The Chargers are favored tonight. I think the Broncos are running a little, it will be hard for them to lose their playoff spot, but I absolutely think they're capable of losing the last three games of the season. You know, all of those teams below them would have to then win all three of their remaining games to pass them. But the Broncos seem vulnerable to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, this is a playoff game. You know, these are the games that you have to win if you want to especially get yourself in a good spot to maybe win a wild card game and get the opportunity to keep playing. But for one, you know, these are games you got to win to get in the playoffs. They're not in yet. And as you said, this is a tough three-game stretch for the Broncos. And, you know, I don't know how many people pegged the Broncos as a playoff team in the preseason looking at what they had. I feel like they're overachievers, and Bo Nix is an overachiever. And so, you know, you're playing with house money. You got to go win these football games.
So if you're the Chiefs, which of these teams would you rather see not make the playoffs? And they very likely both might make it. But if you can only prefer one of them to get there, again, if you're the Chiefs, which one would you rather see in the postseason?
Man, I don't know. That's a spicy question, you know, because all signs would point when you're looking at talent-wise that I would say that I'd rather play the Broncos, but I don't think I'd rather play the Broncos. The Broncos have something about them that is probably a scary team to get this late in the season.
They both can rush the passer. I don't know who I'd rather see either, honestly, because they can both run the rush the passer, and neither of these teams right now as they're currently constructed, they're going to have to throw it. Like the Chiefs, to me, the good matchups are teams that are very, very run-based because the Chiefs are so good at stopping the run. That's why I like them in a matchup against the Ravens, for instance, in the postseason, or the Texans, and we'll see that this weekend. Like teams that live and die by the run this year, that to me favors the Chiefs a little bit. Teams that are forced to throw it around a lot, that scares me. Now, back to the Chiefs and their defense. We saw the pass rush come alive, finally, against the Browns. And that was that was the best defensive performance holistically for the Chiefs, not even close, in a really long time. So that may be something too. Like if they can unlock the pass rush a little bit, another reason what we talked about last segment, people were way too quick to write the Chiefs off. If that defense plays like it did early in the year, they're wildly dangerous. They're getting healthier, all of these things. But I can't wait to see tonight. I can tell you that right now. I love this game. Love this game. Love that it's a rivalry game. Of course, I've told people this before. My wife's a big Chargers fan, so I always had a soft spot. Don't throw stones, Chiefs fans. That's well before we moved to Chiefs Kingdom. So we'll watch it tonight. We'll get a betting insider in to talk about that game and more. College football playoffs are coming up. We've got all kinds of games to preview. The fascinating line on the Chiefs game, quite frankly, with the Mahomes injury. We'll get to it all next. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins the program. We return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. On the line right now, PJ Glasser is with us, our betting insider, host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider. Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
You find your podcast, the Odyssey app would be a great place to do that. PJ, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Good to see you. I mean, it's finally here, right? This weekend that we've been waiting for. Yeah. College football playoff, and we got good NFL slate, especially on Saturday. Those two games are going to be really good, so I'm excited for this weekend.
I agree. I think it should be a good weekend as well. Let's start with tonight, though, and we'll start with the NFL on that. I'm pretty pumped for this game tonight from a football perspective. I think these are two really interesting teams, maybe both flying a little high. We'll see what shakes out. The over-under looks low to me. I know we see the Chargers kind of struggling. These teams both have good defenses, but I don't know. 41, it feels like they could get over that. What do you like in this one?
I like Denver. And, you know, guys, usually in betting, a rule of thumb is when you have a home team, if they're 2.5, you tend to go with the underdog. If they're at 3.5, you tend to go with the favorite. And this line was at 3. It dropped down to 2.5, which I think makes sense. You know, you look at the Chargers this season, and it's been pretty clear cut with them. If they play a good team with a winning record, they don't beat that team and they don't cover the spread. And then they feast on like the bad teams in the NFL, right? Which makes sense because Harbaugh is obviously a great coach. This is year one. They were transitioning from kind of Brandon Staley to Harbaugh, and he brought in some new coaches and the personnel kind of changed. And with Dobbins out, I mean, this offense that's been their top guy. And without him, there really hasn't been a lot of explosiveness. So going up against that Denver defense, which is one of the best in the NFL, great secondary. We know the Chargers lack receiving weapons. I think it's going to be tough for them to move the ball in this game. So I like the Broncos here, +2.5. Keep in mind, too, Denver played a Thursday night game on the road earlier this season in New Orleans, right? So for a team with a young quarterback, that might be something that could hurt them. Short week going on the road, kind of getting out of your comfort zone. But Denver has already had that. So they kind of know what to expect heading into this game. I think they're the better team. Chargers have struggled to beat good teams all year with winning records, so I like the Broncos.
PJ, one of the lines that everybody's looking at around here, the Chiefs, and it's one of the most interesting ones that we've seen in a long time with the huge swing. I think we saw a 6-point swing with Mahomes news looking like he's going to play. Is Mahomes a 6-point player in your opinion?
I mean, he certainly is. Now, the question is, has this line gotten too far, right? Because when we saw that he was a full participant in practice, it went to 2.5 with the Chiefs. Then it got to 3. And now you're getting to the 3.5. And with these two teams and how good the defenses are, and Mahomes, even if he does play, not being 100%, we know Kansas City, the story with them, obviously, they've been winning games but not covering spreads. Now that we've gotten to the 3.5, I feel like this has been too much of an adjustment where I kind of like the Texans here in a lower scoring game. So I'm leaning Texans +3.5. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm sure you talked about it on air, but I actually would have liked Kansas City more with the spread had Carson Wentz played and we got them as a home underdog. I think Kansas City in that role with all the talk about what an overrated 13-1 team they are and how unimpressive they've been. I think with Wentz in there, it would have been one of those games where like kind of everybody would have rallied around. And without Mahomes, I think guys would have enjoyed the opportunity to kind of prove themselves. With Mahomes back in the lineup, obviously he gives you a better chance to win. That's why they're the favorites now. But I'm more so like Houston against the spread against the Chiefs. Whereas if Wentz started, I kind of would have liked the Chiefs as home dogs in that game.
I would have liked him as money line in that game. And and so here's another interesting fact when we just get the news. Hollywood Brown's going to play. Now, he hasn't played all year, so how much they use him, I don't know. But it does point to this bigger narrative with the Chiefs that I think probably we are paying more attention to locally than is being paid attention to nationally. And that's that they're finally getting healthy. I don't know that people have realized how banged up the Chiefs have been this entire season. You know, they finally get Isaiah Pacheco back. Now they're getting Hollywood Brown. Their pass rush is finally, you know, sort of coming back and finding its group. I think there's absolutely a chance, PJ, that we have not seen the best of the Chiefs yet this year, and that could be coming at a really opportune time for them. And I just wonder if we should pay attention to that, if there are opportunities here down the stretch with their bets.
Yeah, no doubt they're getting healthy. And, you know, as you guys know, it kind of feels like the Chiefs are going through the motions. They know how to win in the regular season, and they're just doing just enough to get by and win these games. But like, I've seen this movie before. I'm sure you guys have too. And the team that we're seeing now is not the team that we're going to see in the playoffs. So not only are they getting healthy, but I think they're holding back a little bit too. I mean, this is a team that's won two straight Super Bowls, right? They've been in deep runs. They got a lot of wear and tear on their bodies. They've been through a lot of battles. So they can't go all out in the regular season in every game like maybe some of these other teams can. So the Chiefs kind of know what they're doing. They're playing it, you know, kind of just they're winning each game as they can and not trying to blow teams out. So that's why when you're getting the 3.5 with Houston, I like them in that game. As for Hollywood, it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. You know, him and Xavier Worthy, their skill sets are so similar. So what that distribution looks like, who they decide to run jet sweeps with, who they run screens with, who's kind of the deep ball guy for Mahomes now, I think that's going to be interesting. There's no props up right now on BetMGM for Hollywood, but when that number drops, I'm interested to see what his receiving totals look like.
PJ, while we're talking about the playoffs, one thing that I found interesting, I was just looking at Super Bowl props this morning since we were talking about the Chiefs getting healthier. The Eagles are the number two team is what I'm looking at here. It's Bills, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs. There's been some shifting in there. You know, how big have these past couple of weeks been for, you know, the books to make these predictions?
Oh, they've been huge, especially when you couple it with the Lions injuries and then obviously the Bills beating the Lions, right? And a lot of people thinking that that might be the Super Bowl. So yeah, TJ, I mean, the Bills and the Lions right now are co-favorites to play in the Super Bowl. And quite frankly, I don't think either of those teams are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. I still like Kansas City in the AFC. And then the Eagles, who you brought up, and I wouldn't sleep on the Packers either. You know, LaFleur is a really good coach. We saw what they were able to do in the playoffs last year. They went into Dallas, destroyed them, and then they had the San Francisco on the ropes as well. So I think the Packers are going to be a tough out. Let's remember, too, guys, like as great as Detroit has been this season, Minnesota has the same record as them. These two teams still play. And if Minnesota gets the number one seed, I mean, that's going to be a game changer. Detroit is going to have to play wild card weekend. They're going to have to go on the road and all these different things. So I still like Kansas City. Quite frankly, guys, I just hope that the Bills continue to look impressive and the odds on the Chiefs just continue to diminish. Because as far as I'm concerned, they can look as bad as they want in the regular season. To me, it's not going to influence how I feel about them in the playoffs.
You went through that, and I want to get your favorite NFL bets, but you went through and boy, why hadn't anybody given the Vikings love? They could have home field here in this thing. If Detroit is vulnerable, Minnesota can throw the ball. They can run the ball. They got a great pass rush. What is it about the Vikings that we're all sort of collectively sleeping on? Because I think they have all the is it a Sam Darnold thing and that's it?
That's it. That's it. It's Darnold. It's Darnold. You know, I mean, just the era that we live in now, I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with a guy like Darnold as your quarterback. As great as he's playing, I don't know if you could win it.
But can you with Jordan Love? You know, Sam Darnold's played better than Jalen Hurts this year. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I agree with you, by the way. If you look for, like, I've done this before. If you go back 30 years, you bet you have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback with, like, right, three exceptions. Like, they got to be that good to win a Super Bowl. But the NFC doesn't have one of those right now.
So I think if you're not talking about like a top four, top five quarterback in the NFL, I think your ceiling is to make it to the Super Bowl. But I don't know if you can win it, right? You talk about Jalen Hurts. We saw the Eagles get to a Super Bowl, didn't win it. We saw Brock Purdy and the Niners last year get to a Super Bowl, and he didn't win it. We saw Jared Goff with the Rams get to a Super Bowl and not win it. So I think the Vikings' absolute ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl. If they did that, I don't think it would be shocked. But then when you play a neutral site game against another really good team And especially if that team is Kansas City or Buffalo and Baltimore, and you're going up against a Hall of Fame, top three, top four quarterback, I think it's going to be tough. So it is Darnold at the end of the day. And O'Connell's awesome, and Flores is great too. Jefferson's one of the best receivers. Their defense is playing great. But to me, it is Darnold. I just don't think they can win a Super Bowl with him.
PJ, you talked about how awesome this weekend's going to be on the football slate. That includes college football playoff, and we get it a day early on Friday there. 7 o'clock is the Hoosiers at Notre Dame in-state battle. Everybody's counted out Indiana all year. Still only one loss on that resume. 7.5-point dogs, it looks like, at Notre Dame.
Guys, this is going to be a fun game. It really is. I think Notre Dame wins, but would not be shocked in the slightest if Indiana pulls off the upset. I'm betting them plus the points, plus the 7.5. You're starting to see this line going back and forth between 7 and 7.5. As soon as it goes down to 7, people are betting Notre Dame. When you're getting the 7.5, people are getting that hook with Indiana. And I really think it is one of those games where the hook is going to be important, because I think it's going to be one score. Something interesting to watch. And you see this all the time in March Madness too, especially with like a Gonzaga, teams that are used to just blowing out everybody in their conference. When they get into a playoff setting and these games are tight with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's why you see the Zags lose a bunch in March. Indiana and Notre Dame this year, you guys have not played a lot of close games. Indiana's played one game all year that's been decided by one score. Notre Dame's played two games all year that have been decided by one score. So in a game with teams that have really good defenses, teams that are good at running the football, and a game that's probably going to come down to the wire, I think you've got to favor the underdog in that situation, because all the pressure is going to be on Notre Dame. The longer that this game stays close when the Irish are at home and all the pressure is on them, I think that's an advantage for Indiana. So I think Notre Dame's going to squeak out a close one at the end, but this game will, I think, go right down to the wire. So I like the Hoosiers plus the points.
So everybody's getting a lot of points in these first round games. All the dogs are more than touchdown dogs. Which of these, if any, do you think have a chance? Maybe it's Indiana to outright win. Like, which one is the money line bet if you're looking to get some juicy odds there?
For me, it's SMU. I think that's the play. SMU on the money line. They match up well with Penn State because they can stop the run and they can pressure the quarterback. And if you want to give Penn State and Drew Aller issues, that's what you do. You stop Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and you pressure Drew Aller. That's what SMU is going to be able to do. Also, guys, like a lot of time, and we've already seen it in this college football playoff era when it was with four teams, a lot of time when that last team gets into the field and it's like kind of a controversial team, those teams end up playing pretty well, right? Like those teams that just get in and then they go on a little bit of a run. And I've been talking about it on my show. To me, James Franklin feels like he's treading the kind of water that John Calipari was at Kentucky, where fans were kind of getting fed up. He had all these good teams, but he really couldn't win big games anymore. And Oakland was the last straw when Kentucky lost last year. Penn State's path is really favorable. They're big favorites against SMU. They're going to be big favorites against Boise. They'll have a chance to beat Georgia or Notre Dame. They could match up well with either of those teams. Feels like Franklin, this game, if he loses it, he's going to be on the hot seat big time. So there are a lot of people out there that don't think SMU is very good. You know, they just kind of got in because they were fortunate to come back against Clemson and they only had one loss. But their defense is solid. Their offense has some good playmakers. And not only do I think they can hang with Penn State, I think they can win the game.
One of my favorite parts of the new college football playoff is that these, you know, 5 through 8 get the home games, and we get the matchup of SMU going to Pennsylvania. You get Tennessee going to Ohio State, and it's going to be like a 12-degree wind chill or something like that. You know, how much is that going to factor? Is there anything of, you know, SEC teams, a team from Texas playing in this cold that's altering your mind at all?
Definitely in the Tennessee-Ohio State game, I think it makes a big difference. SMU-Penn State, not as much, even though you got a team from Texas, like you said, going up to Happy Valley. I think the fact that it's during the day is a big deal, right? This is going to be a 12 p.m. Eastern time, so the sun should be out. It's not looking like they're going to get any snow. It's just going to be cold. So I think that will help SMU, whereas Tennessee is going to be playing a night game, and I think that makes a big difference. It's supposed to be 16 degrees at kickoff. Nico, their quarterback's from California. He is not used to that. And both teams are SMU and Tennessee, they are built to play in cold weather because they can stop the run. They have good defenses and they can run the football. Problem is with Tennessee, they just, when they've gone up against good teams this year, they have not been able to score a lot of points. You think about what they've done in road games too, at Arkansas, at Georgia, at Oklahoma. Their offensive have struggled to really put up a lot of yards and score a lot of points. I think they're going to struggle against Ohio State's defense too, which has been the number one scoring defense in college football this season. So it is a factor. I'm interested to see how it plays out, TJ, but I think it's more of a factor with Tennessee than it is with SMU.
All right, PJ, before we let you go, anything we've missed, pro, college, whatever it is, some of your favorite bets that we need to be on?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a favorite bet of mine in college and NFL. Texas-Clemson, we didn't talk about that game, but my favorite bet of the weekend is going to be Clemson's team total under at 20.5 points. I just think that's way too much. Say what you want about Texas's offense, and I think it's all totally fair. Quinn Ewers is really the one thing that when you look at Texas's team, kind of makes you concerned about them maybe winning the national championship. But that defense is ridiculous. I mean, they're number two in scoring. They're number one against the pass. They're top 15 against the rush. And Clemson this year, the two SEC teams they've played, 3 points against Georgia, 14 points at home against South Carolina. Now they're going on the road playing a true road game, and that total is 20.5. I think it's too many. So I like the team total under there. And then the other Saturday game, Ravens and Steelers, I'm taking Pittsburgh plus the points. These games are always close, and they're always decided by 3 points, and they're always low scoring. And I can just tell you guys how the game's going to go. The Ravens are the better team. They're going to outplay them. They're on it, going to outgain them, but they're going to drop passes. They're going to turn the ball over. They're going to commit dumb penalties. And then you look up in the fourth quarter and the Steelers will have a chance to win the game. So I just think 6.5 is too many points. I like Pittsburgh on Saturday.
And TJ, if you didn't know, PJ's a big Ravens fan. So if you're wondering where that you know, where that's that deep frustration is rooted, that's where that comes from. PJ, enjoy it. We will not have a show next week, so we will be a week off with you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the bets. Let's all make a little extra money, get a few extra Christmas presents this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy holidays, guys. Enjoy the games. I'll talk to you in 2025. Look forward to it.
There goes PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Always good stuff there. Lot to digest with the betting this weekend, and starts tonight. I told myself, like, I got to take, I can't let it go. I got to find a wacky same game parlay here tonight. TJ, you just can't let that slide, because that might be the one, you know, could like be. That might have been the one.
It could be. I'm just thinking about this Indiana SMU parlay. I think we can get like plus 1200 or something stupid juicy on that. So yeah, I like that a lot, and I like Tennessee a lot. I'm going to take a bunch of underdogs this weekend.
I got to tell you, I think Notre Dame's about to clean Indiana's clock. I just can't get – I don't – Indiana, I just like, they haven't played anybody. They've played one quality game and they got crushed. They got crushed. I don't think Notre Dame's actually that good, but you know, we'll see. I'm so excited we have college football playoff. Like, I don't even care, honestly. Like, I don't even care. I'm just so excited we finally have what we should have had since the beginning of time. And I just want people to go nuts for it and realize how stupid it was that we've determined college football champions the way that we have for so long. But we appreciate PJ. If you missed anything there, if you want his takes on the Chiefs or anything else that you might have come into late, you can go right there on the Odyssey app, download the show, and listen in that way. Coming up in hour number two, we'll start things off with Tim Fitzgerald. Got to get Fitz's take on Jerome Tang's post-game comments. I'm real curious to see that. It's hard, TJ, and I know you and I haven't talked about it, but we will here with Fitz. Like, it's so hard because so much of that post-game was great, right? It's all the things you like to hear from Tang, the reason we all like Tang. But to go down that road, to me, seems like such a distraction. Mm-hmm. Because that's all we think about, right? It drives me crazy when coaches lecture fans. I just don't like it. Never have. It's always rubbed me the wrong way. Like, you know, those fans are the reason that We can all do this for a living. In their cases, they make lots of money because of those fans. Like, I just, it always rubs me the wrong way to lecture fans. And so I'm curious to see what Fitz is saying, what the tone is up in Manhattan. There is real heat, TJ, on that program right now.
I just saw a video on X of their Power Cat podcast they just did. And if you haven't seen it, Fitz went nuts for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
So
well,
this is going to be great.
We'll have that. He probably agrees with us then, or at least me, on how silly that all was. But we'll do that next. Tim Fitzgerald, K-State Insider, joins the program next on Sports Daily.